Amen. Amen. I love that song. There's still that part of me. There's always that part of me as a dad that if anything goes on with my three boys, I want them to have that thing inside of them that goes, I'm going to tell my dad. I'm going to talk to my dad about this. And I love the message of that song because it talks about how we as children of God have our Father that we can go to. And we have the right to go to him because we are his kids. I want to welcome you to church this morning. I'm like in my mind, I'm having to stop myself from saying just random Spanish phrases. It's so funny. As I've seen people this morning, I'm like, hola. I'm trying to continue some of the conversation. Right before worship, I was waiting for Dale to say, estás lingo, what is it, listos? Estás listos? Let's go. Are you ready? You know what I'm saying? So it's a good time to be here this morning. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We had a very traditional Thanksgiving meal. This past week, we had turkey and stuffing and all that stuff, and it was on this huge long table, and we had a chance to eat together as a church family. And I want to tell you, this past week, as amazing as that whole, as our whole missions trip was, one of the best parts, just while we were doing all the ministry work we were doing, I don't know if you've ever noticed around here, we'd really try to encourage people to plug into a community group, whether it's a semester one or a long-term one. We try to get you to serve together and to do so many things together. Just take time to socialize outside of church together because there's so much that happens between us as believers when we connect together. And in our group last week, we had high school students, we had college students, we had young adults, we had a couple that's engaged, to getting ready to get married. We had a chance to spend time with them and talk to them and hear about their wedding plans. There were those of us that have kids at home that we're trying our best to raise. We had some folks on the trip that their kids are out from their house and they've got grandkids now. It was just this amazing picture of the church, the kingdom, the family of God just uprooting themselves and going and serving another group of people. There were relationships that I got a chance to grow more in and people that I got a chance to know really mainly for the first time. I still forgive Ryan for all the pranks that he's tried to play on me this week. I was trying to talk to the whole group, be real serious at one point. Ryan's just squirting my whole shirt with water and I don't even realize it. He posted on Craigslist. He posted my name and number and put a thing out there that said I have free goats and chickens to give away. And nobody's called me. So either nobody's hungry or that's just God's protective hand over me, man. And it's just how he rolls with me these days. So, but it has been so, it's been so much fun. There were several people on the trip I've known for years and years and years, like Ashley back there. And then Cassie over here, I hadn't had a chance to spend a lot of time with her. She has so much energy. I didn't know. You can actually just have her hold your phone cord, and she charges your cell phone just because she's so energetic in life. But we had so much fun, and I would encourage you to, as people present over the next few weeks, please let them not just tell you something from stage or something on video, but ask them questions about what was going on. My eyes have been tired this week, so yes, I brought my reading glasses onto stage. I'm just going to go ahead and confess that now. I made it through the first service without them. I did okay, but I may need them in this service. I thought my eyes were bad. Yesterday, as we were coming in through immigration and customs in Atlanta, and I don't know if you fly a lot outside the country. Believe it or not, sometimes going into other countries, it's almost a little bit more polite than our culture is here in America. But I got this wonderful lady, and she is obviously clearly a saint of God. Because as me and my son Connor walked up to her counter together, I handed her both passports, and she looked at me and she said, "Hang on a second, are you his dad?" I said, "Yes, I am." She's like, "Really?" She's like, "I thought you were brothers." Yes, I get that a lot, obviously, clearly. And Connor's looking at me like, "What are you talking about? We never get that." And I was like, "Son, I don't care how bad you look right now. I'm taking this as a total compliment right here coming at this guy." So it was so much fun. Yeah, even coming back into the States, it was such a good time. And we look forward to sharing with you so much about what God did. I had a message prepared before we left to jump right back into this study of Colossians that we're doing. But as I prayed about it as we were coming home, I felt like God had really put something else on my heart for this morning. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 17. Our group had some devotions for the week, and we had some things out of Luke 17. We're not really going to be going those same places this morning exactly. We're going to be talking about some different things. So even for our team, I hope this really challenges you and you really hear God speak to you in a very specific way. In Luke 17, we're going to talk about a question that Jesus' disciples, his followers, asked him. And this question will probably sound pretty familiar to you if you have been a Christian for any length of time in your life, or maybe even before you really became a Christian, you may have asked yourself something like this, or you may have thought something like this. He's spending some time here. This is when his ministry had gone towards the area of Judea. He began his ministry calling his disciples, spent some time around Galilee, and now this is kind of a second phase of his ministry. And the question that's going to come out, I really think will connect with you. I know it connects with me. Have you ever gotten to a place in life to where you felt like maybe the faith that you had just wasn't quite the version of faith that you saw in other people? Or maybe because of life experiences that you have gone through, you felt like in some way your faith, this really core belief, was really kind of shaken or maybe broken? Or maybe you just felt like, you know, you were pretty solid in your faith, but you just really felt like it wasn't enough. You either felt like there was more out there, or you saw more evidence in other people, or maybe you just kind of feel like, you know, I just don't know that I'm getting it the way that I should be getting it. Well, that's a little bit of the heart that Jesus' disciples came to him with. Now, consider this. Up to this point, they had seen no shortages of miracles directly in front of them. They're at a place in time with Jesus where they're starting to hear and figure out that they're going to be doing some things on their own. But I want you to listen to this question that we're going to begin with this morning out of Luke 17, and it's going to be in verse 5. And the passage begins this way. Before I read it, I want to go ahead and kind of tell you my purpose today. I want to connect for us three different words. I want to connect faith, God's grace, and thankfulness. We're just coming out of a week that we've been able to really celebrate a lot of thankfulness. And I believe this is a passage that God wants us to see him connect that for us this morning. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. This is their request. Help us, Jesus. Give us more faith. They looked at their lives. They looked at what was going on around them. Maybe they looked at what Jesus could do. And for a minute they thought, I just don't have enough. This is how Jesus, listen to his response. This is really interesting. We're gonna try to dissect this some this morning and kind of unpack this together. Verse 6, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, some translations will say, if you have faith like a mustard seed, the meaning here, whether you have your translation says like or size, the meaning is this. If you have faith relative to the size reference of a mustard seed, for them, as soon as they heard mustard seed, Jesus was such a good communicator. He put this size reference in their minds right away. The mustard seed is so minuscule that it's almost unnoticeable. But if you ever see a full-grown plant that it grows into, it's almost like a tree. It's like 8 or 9 feet tall. And most of the time when we look at this in Scripture, we kind of jump to the conclusion that Jesus is trying to tell us, hey, look, your faith is just really too small, but if you hang on long enough, it'll grow into something really impressive. And really never in Scripture is he trying to take us down that road. He's saying something very specific about this mustard seed. The idea of the mustard seed gets a lot of airtime in the New Testament, it seems like, with Jesus. It seems like we hear this repetitively. But I want you to listen to this. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, I got back, our team got back about a little after 2 in the morning, and we probably all went to bed about 3 o'clock, so I've got some scripture on the screen. I'm going to read you my points this morning. I don't have these as notes on the screen, but I want you to read this or listen to this. This is the first point I want to make this morning. It is not the amount of faith you have, it is who your faith is in. There's a really key connection that Jesus is trying to help them with here, and I want you to listen to this. There is an essential connection between our faith and hearing. And when I say hearing, I mean specifically hearing God's voice, whether it is coming alive to us out of Scripture, because the Bible, God's Word, is alive to us. It's either his voice coming out of Scripture, it's his voice through the Holy Spirit that's in us as saved people, drawing us to him, putting things in our heart, putting things going on in our conscience that's saying, hey, this is where I'm leading you. Hearing that and our faith are intimately and integrally tied together. And this is what I mean by that. let's think about this. Faith the size of a mustard seed is what Jesus is referencing. Jesus and his disciples walked by. This is going to be our mulberry tree for the morning. So this is not a mulberry tree, but I don't know what kind this is. I just know that it always looks like this, so it's my kind of tree. It just sits at the back of the church. Jesus takes his followers around this tree, okay, and tells them, as they've asked him, you know, Jesus, we really feel like we need more faith here. We really feel like we just don't have enough. We're not making it, and we're not getting through like others are. We see more in other people. We're comparing ourselves. Remember, comparison is always the biggest joy killer. He takes them and he says, you know what? Even if you had just this minuscule amount of faith, you could say to this, and honestly, in some ways, I believe that the word this in this verse may be the most important word. It's definitely the word that they tripped over the most. He said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would happen. Now, you can kind of see the disciples kind of walking around going, okay, so that's what you're saying, Jesus. If we have just a little bit of faith, we could tell this tree to be uprooted and it would go kind of airlifted and be planted somewhere else. Man, that's pretty amazing. Man, if only we had that much faith, you know, it'd be kind of crazy to actually tell a tree to move and it would move. And they just kind of, you know, got to that point and were kind of like, wow. And they just continued on. I want you to understand something this morning. When Jesus told them, he was laying out an opportunity there for them to exercise their faith, to connect their belief in God's word, because Jesus, as God's son, everything that he spoke was the very word of God. As he spoke God's word, as he spoke to them, he was giving them an amazing opportunity. He says, listen, you want more faith? If you'll just take a small amount of faith, I'm telling you, you can tell this tree. It's like he wanted God to just like have flashing arrows. Talk to this tree now. Just say move. You don't have to say the whole statement. Just say move. And they're looking at the tree like, yeah, that would be pretty crazy, wouldn't it? And then they just left. Jesus gave them an opportunity with the faith they had by telling them this will move if you tell it to. They had an opportunity to respond to the very voice of God and be a part of what God was doing out of his power. That is a unique opportunity that we would say we probably don't ever get that. Wow. Evidently in America we got some broken stuff too. I want you to please make sure that you hear that this morning. Because for us, many times, we're looking at things wrong. We're saying, God, I don't have enough faith, when he's just simply calling us and saying, but please, please use the faith that you do have. Because in God's word, when he makes a promise to us, when he tells us something, when he puts a burden on our heart, when he calls us into some ministry, whether that's by a church or personally, when he does that inside of us, he gives us the opportunity in faith and trust in him to say, that needs to be done, and God's power is already working, and it will happen. On some level, Jesus has got to be looking up at God after this and going, really? These are the guys that you gave me? Like, these are the ones I was supposed to call? They get to be in charge when I go back to heaven? He's got to almost have this frustrated look because he's told them, look, guys, you're honestly struggling because you feel like you're not spiritually capable of doing anything. And I just told you, hey, look, just say move, and I'm going to show you what the power of God looks like. And they scratched their heads and walked away. How many times out of Scripture do we read something, we identify it clearly as a promise of God, and yet we really never put it into practice in our life? We just move past it as if it was written to someone else. Because see, it's always the power of God and the grace of God that is at work on this planet and in our lives. It's not something that we deserve. I want you to listen to this. Advancing the kingdom of God has less to do with the power of your faith and infinitely more to do with the power and grace of God. When we were on our trip last week, there was one of our guys. His name is Omar, and Omar's got an incredible testimony. He has spent a lot of time with IDC, which was the main ministry that we were a part of. But then God, even from an early age, had put on his heart that he wanted Omar to be about creating a ministry for him. And he talked to us about how that just kind of kept coming back around in his life over and over and over again. But so many points in his life, he would hit these moments he shared with us where because of many times what someone else would do to him, he would have no money, no resources, no land to do it on, nothing that just was sitting there saying, hey, just jump in and be part of what's going on. And it had to be his faith to say, God, you've put this in my heart. And because you've put this in my heart, I'm going to go forward trusting you in faith, even if I'm struggling right now with my faith. I'm still just going to move forward because it's got to be you doing the work. And he said, without fail, he told us so many times over and over and over again where he would have no money and someone would call him or email him and would just send money that would fund not just that day, but months in advance to give him the freedom and joy to be able to work and to serve God. He said, he talked to us about just how over and over and over again, God just would continue to out of his power to resource the ministry. And that's God's grace. Grace is goodness that we don't deserve. That's what the gospel is. The whole gospel message is when we were at our worst, Jesus Christ paid our price to bring us to God. I got news for you, and I don't know if you've really figured this out, but God is good to you whether you're really ever good to him or not. He blesses us in so many different ways. That's not meant to be an excuse to not obey God in the hope that he always just kind of works things out. It's meant to show us that if God is that good, then our heart cry should be, yes, God, I will serve you because I will surely obey you because you will bless obedience. You will guard my life. You will guard my family. See, the thing that we get into, and I don't know if you've ever been to this same place, but when I act like the kingdom of God has a lot to do with the power of my faith, I try to aim my faith. I want to trust God in the areas that I want to trust him in. And it ends up usually being like this. Oh, God, I want to trust you for this, but it's really something that I can control. And then when it kind of happens and works out, then I try to kind of toss him a little bit of credit. And that's not what the kingdom of God really is. So Jesus tells his disciples, you want more faith? He says, let me talk to you just about what a little bit of faith can do. I want you to hear that this morning because many of us at different seasons of our lives get to a place where we wake up some mornings, we look in the mirror, and we really wonder, is God doing anything at all present in our life? Many times we wake up and we look in the mirror and we don't sense a real need, so we don't really make ourselves aware of really what God's grace really is. Just waking up is God's grace, because if the penalty of sin was paid that morning, we wouldn't wake up. God's grace is always prevalent, and it doesn't even hinge on our best behavior. But our faith moments are opportunities to step into what God is saying and doing and be part of it. I want to continue with the response that Jesus gave them, because he tells them, he gives them an opportunity, and they don't even take it. Then he says this to them in verse 7. Which one of you, having a servant tending sheep or plowing, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Instead, will he not tell him, prepare something for me to eat, get ready and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you can eat and drink. Does he think that servant because he did what was commanded? In the same way, when you have done all you were commanded, you should say, we are worthless servants. We've only done our duty. Thankfulness is a response to grace. God owes us no thanks because we really show no grace to God. We can't give God favor he doesn't deserve because he deserves all favor. Hebrews 11:35 says, who has given God a gift that God has become his debtor? I want you to understand where Jesus is really trying to take them in this passage. Listen with me to this explanation, this idea, this illustration that he gives them. He says, imagine for a second that you are a master of a house. He said, and your servants have been out all day working in your fields, growing crops for your family and serving well and working hard. And when they come in, he said, how many of you, when you see them coming in, go, hang on a second, guys, ladies, I know y'all been working really hard. I tell you what, just have a seat, sit down, take a load off. Let me fix you something to drink. Let me get you refreshed. Let me fix you a meal. I want you to eat, get full. Just rest for a while, and then I'll eat later. He said, no, if you're the master of the house, even when they've come in from the field, you tell them, okay, I know that you've been working hard, and now it's time to fix dinner for me. And now it's time to put food on the plate. And you'll eat, but you will eat later because as the master, you were still providing for all of those people. Then he said, and then at the end of all that, the servants would say, we have done our duty. In other words, we have responded to the opportunity that we've had, and we've worked hard, and we've done everything for you. And that in itself is the thanks that is shown towards the master. Now, many of us would read that passage and go, hang on a second. If that master is supposed to represent God, that sounds pretty cruel. You mean he would expect us to just work all day and then work some more? I want you to consider for a second what really this kingdom is about. It's about endlessly giving credit to Jesus Christ for everything. Because the master can be interpreted and can be viewed a lot of different ways. We can view God and say, well, you're just up there just trying to make me work. You're just trying to get me tired. Or we can look at God and say, you provide so much for me. You provide everything for me. And to work for you in your creation, in your kingdom, is my pleasure because to be part of your kingdom means that you've done everything for me. You know, this past week, we've had just an absolute phenomenal week. And like any mission trip, you work, you do physical labor, you're tired, you're sharing the gospel with people. This week, we've had some really amazing, beautiful times. We were able to walk the streets of Antigua when we first got there for a little while. We hiked a volcano. Well, all of us didn't hike the volcano. I hiked the volcano. I purposed in my heart that I was going to get up there, and if I died on the way up, that somebody that was in really good shape was going to not just hike themselves, but they were going to drag my body up to the top and take a picture of me and just tell everybody that I made it, and that's what got me, and that was going to be the picture that we had up at the family visitation for at the funeral home. But I was purposed. I was going. We had some people that were a lot younger than me. I'm just going to be honest with you and talk about them. Rented horses. That's what I'm saying, right? If the old people can do it, I'm sorry, if the old guy can do it, I think everybody ought to be able to hike up that thing. Now, I'm not going to say that it was easy. I clearly was struggling at many points. And by many points, I mean 7 out of 8 steps, you know, most of the time on average. What really drove me crazy, though, was as we were in this, I mean, we were hiking a volcano. This is so gorgeous, so beautiful. And all the horses were behind us, and every horse had a guide as it went up. And they brought extra horses. I guess they assumed that on some point up the volcano that somebody is going to give in, Chris Trogdon, and just absolutely quit on everything and rent a horse and pay a whole lot of money because they're desperate right at the moment. It was funny, though. Ryan, at his full stature of 6'7", that he is. He was on a horse, though, and at one point the horse was really struggling, so he actually just put his feet on the ground and actually just like picked the horse up between his legs and walked him up the mountain. But as I'm walking, as we're hiking up this volcano, I'm walking here, and the horse is and the guy is right beside me, and they don't call it a horse, they call it a taxi, because you're not like giddy up riding the horse up, they're just walking you up on the horse. So is this guy, this one guy, stays beside me. Like the horse is just breathing on me the whole time. Horses are all over this place. There is horse poop, you know, the size of your shoe. You're just dodging and weaving, and you're sitting there, and it's beautiful. But he just keeps walking up beside me. He's like, see, taxi, no, no gracias, no, no. Finally, I'm like, I can't even say no. I'm like, no, no. So this guy named Abner was taking us up this volcano. I yell out to Abner, Abner, tell this guy I need my air for my lungs, not my words. I'm struggling. I said, if this dude asked me if I want this horse one more time, him and the horse are going over the mountain. Tell him, Abner. He's like, oh, I don't think I can tell him that. You better tell him something, Abner. I don't know what Abner told him, but he just looked at me and he went, okay. And he's just back down. Well, I mean, we were all over this country. I mean, we were just seeing. I mean, it was gorgeous. It was phenomenal. Yes, Gresham, your brother rode the horse. It was absolutely gorgeous. Aside from that, and you were really part of all this with us. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you were really part of all this with us. The first day we were there, we were able to go to a place called Hope Haven. And Hope Haven has a specific ministry to people that have physical handicaps. A lot of people, especially wheelchairs, what they do is they bring in and they refurbish wheelchairs. They get them shipped in from different countries, and they have their employees are handicapped people. They're able to employ them and pay them because it would be almost impossible for them to get a job. So you've got this large workshop table where people with physical handicaps are sitting around it, and they're refurbishing wheelchairs, and a family comes in, and they don't get charged for a wheelchair. They get it given to them, and they make adaptions for every chair to make sure that it fits the person that it needs. And then we were able to go in there and just paint and do work projects because with physical handicaps, you can't get on the ladders that we could get on. You can't go up in a bucket lift and paint up high because you just have those physical limitations. And we're able just to go in there and love on them and share Christ with them in that way. If you ever walk past and see some of the pictures, because of you being part of this and us going and you sending us, there are 12 families right now that have clean drinking water. I don't know if you really think about that, because I don't think about that. I don't just sit at my house and go, I can't drink this stuff. What am I going to do? I have the money to go out and buy bottled water if I need it. And there are families that we walked in, and it's this filter that only costs $45, and it will last up to 8 to 10 years. And we go in, and we're showing them how to use it, and we're dumping dirt. We're creating dirty water, and they're looking at us like, crazy Americans are creating dirty water. Like, we have it just sitting here. But we're just like making dirty water, and it's just coming out of the filter. You guys like see their eyes, and they taste it, and it's like their whole face. I mean, it's like you see like the stress and the weight of providing something for your family just be lifted because it's just there, and God has given it to you. So we're going into their homes and we're walking into family situations. They're asking us to pray over needs that in many ways, if you got told this was the need in that house, this is what's going on here in the States, we would just walk away. We would go to the next house, or we would just skip visitation. But we got to go in there. We went into this one building that's doing ministry. This one guy who used to be in the military, stationed in the U.S., in North Carolina, God put on his heart to go into this one area where literacy does not exist. These farmers that are just desperately trying to grow food to make money are struggling a little bit under $4 a day, and our economy is not that much different than theirs. And he goes in there, and we go in, and we get to feed like 380-some kids. You ever fed 380 kids? Rice, beans, and tortillas. That's how you do it, evidently. And we even ran out with that. But we got to just go in and put food in front of kids' plates. And they taught us lessons about community, because you would have one older kid sit beside a younger kid, and the younger kid's plate would be a little bit smaller because we were trying to give plates according to size, and they would start scooping food over to the other child's plate, the younger kid's plate, to make sure they had what they had. And they welcomed us in, and we were able just to play with them and share the gospel with them. And the people that got water filters, we were able to tell them, this dirty water that represents sin in our lives, when it goes through this filter, this is like us. There's only one way to God. We go through Jesus, and it's through forgiveness and Him alone. And then when we go through Jesus, we are clean on the other side. And we got to serve people like that. We got to build a home for a family. We have a picture that you'll see at some point of this adorable little girl climbing onto her very first bed. She's on the top bunk of the set of bunk beds that Ashley and Cassie built. And she just has her arms up in the air because she's excited, because that night she sleeps in her own bed. And we're buying food for the house. They have food for a month. They don't have to spend anything. You know why that's important? Because the dad has lost his job. So at the end of the week, we've done all this and we're tired. And the joy of this passage, is what we felt in our hearts, because you can ask anybody at that moment, do you want applause Or do you want to do it again? We want to do it again. And see, that's the overflow of thankfulness. See, listen to this last verse again. In the same way, when you have done all that you were commanded, you should say, we are worthless servants. We've only done our duty. See, many times we walk around and we say, you know, my faith just isn't strong enough. There must be some disconnect. I must not understand God's word like somebody else does. I must not be like the pastor of that church, or I must just need to grow some before I can really depend on God for that. You realize Jesus' literal response to that is, take anything that I say to you and in faith live it out. That's all the faith you need. At that moment, you've got all you have. I mean, do you ever get frustrated with people? You ever just tell somebody something and they just completely disregard it and you just want to like go in and like just, I mean, you don't want to kill them, but you just want to suffocate them just a little bit, enough for them to start gasping or something, right? Like Jesus is standing there with them and says, say it to this mulberry tree. Because God moves mulberry trees. That's just what he can do because he made them. And they're just like, man, that to be able to do that would be phenomenal. Like, I'd tell that story if I could really do that. Jesus, why are you walking away? That's faith connected to hearing. And when we connect our faith to hearing, we open our eyes to God's power and his grace. Because it's at work constantly. And because it's at work constantly, we're supposed to constantly be at work for him. For applause? No. For plaques? No. For mentions? Absolutely not. It's our duty. It's what we do. And when we embrace that, you know what that change for me in small areas of my life, I've seen changes. Some of the words I use, I'm much more careful. I know you don't think that I have much of a filter. I get it. But I have a lot more one now than I've ever had. I'm just more careful about the words that I choose because I don't want to say something that just really tears down who God is. Does that mean I do it perfectly? No. Once a day, twice a day, five, six times a day, I'm sure that I fail. I say something, I make a comment. It may be about someone, and it's sinful. But I can tell you now in my life, God convicts me a lot quicker than he's ever been able to convict me before because my heart realizes the damage that I've done to his kingdom. And it's my duty to not do that. Some of it's giving, it's generosity. It's not complaining, it's not quitting. You know, I've been so many times in my church life, you know, the interaction with the group of people you worship with and the programs that go on. I've said so many times, you know what? Gosh, my plate is just so full. Everybody's plate is full, right? I mean, that's kind of what our appetite for existence is in America. We just all have full plates. But so much of that is our duty, but it's our privilege. It's the overflow of our thankfulness. I'm not telling you this morning that you don't do enough. I can only answer for me. But in this passage, this is just an amazing connection. It starts out with a group of people who just are struggling. They don't think they're getting it right, which is really relatable. Then out of that, they're opened up to this idea of just when God makes a promise, when he says you can do this, then just simply, whatever the faith you have, do it. And be so aware of God working that overflows with thankfulness. So that whatever God asks you to do, it doesn't matter if you just finish one thing, go right into the next. Because that's a great way to express thankfulness. I want to tell you again, thank you so much for you know, your prayers and your support. And we really do look forward to sharing a lot with you. But on a personal level, I'd like to ask you three questions before we before we close, just to make sure that we can apply this to our lives the best that we can. The first is this. Are you connecting your faith to hearing God? Maybe I should ask it like this. Are you strategically making sure every day that you're able to hear God speak? You've got some devotion time dedicated. You're in the Word of God. You're studying the Word of God with other people. So you're gaining a clear understanding of what Scripture is. And then you're taking that Scripture to God. Say, God, speak to me out of this. Make sure that I hear from you and what you intend for me out of this passage. Because a clear hearing gives us an opportunity to exercise not a high quantity of faith, but just the faith that we have at that moment that God has blessed us with. And then we can see him grow that in other times, but it allows us to be obedient. Are you using your faith? Maybe you are spending time and you have spent time and God has put something on your heart. Maybe there's been something God has been speaking to you about for a long time. And you just simply haven't put your faith with that to use that and to go with God in that step. Maybe this is a relational thing. Maybe God has put on your heart for a lengthy amount of time that the relationship that you're in, that maybe the marriage you're in, could be better, could be lived for him in a greater way. And he's put on your heart. You know what? We're not going towards divorce, but we could counsel with someone, and this relationship could glorify God more. And he's put that on your heart. Then just have that 1 ounce of faith that says, you know what? Let's set up an appointment with a couple that we know and we trust. Let's call Derek. Let's call Wendy. Let's call someone we know. Let's get a recommendation to somebody, and let's sit down with somebody, and let's put some work into this. It's the amount of faith, whatever the amount of faith is, going with what God has told you. And the last question is this. At the end of the day, what is your response? At the end of the day, what is your response? When I find myself at a point in the day where I'm deciding, do I call this person? Do I go to this Bible study? Do I reach out to this friend that I've got? Am I saying, you know, God, I've done enough? Or do I say, God, if you put this on my heart, I trust you for that, and I'll go do it? Because we all go through seasons in life where we feel overwhelmed. We all go through seasons in life when the ministry that we're a part of, we seem so busy that we want to go, you know what? I just need to step back for a couple of months. And sometimes God speaks to us about taking true rest, but the true rest that God speaks to us about always is a restored rest. So if our rest isn't strategically aimed at getting refreshed for him, then it's really just personal relaxation. At the end of the day, is it an opportunity to serve the master? Or is it a reluctancy into what he calls us into? When we see those struggles, God isn't trying to drive us towards a guilt trip. I talked to our group this past week. We were Americans who were very blessed, seeing people that if we compare our monetary existence to theirs, we see a large gap. When you look at a group of people in that situation, if we walk away and say, I feel guilty because all that I have, that's not God. That's a lie of Satan. Because the kingdom is still the kingdom. It may be that God has provided for you or for me so that we could visibly provide for someone else so they could clearly hear the gospel. That happens here in our community, in our church. Happens all over the world. God's not trying to drive us towards guilt trip. He's trying to drive us to repentance, to come to him. So as you examine your life, if you say, you know what, honestly right now, I just find myself at a place where I don't want to really do more. I don't want to serve more. Okay, no guilt trip. What that seems to be out of Scripture is a season of life where thankfulness is short. So how do we arrive at thankfulness? We go back and say, God, what have you told me? And what can I do for you with whatever amount of faith I have in you, God, working? Do that. See the evidence of God working. And he will, out of that grace, give you no shortage of thankfulness to go and continue to serve. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a second? I want to thank you again for being here this morning. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support. And as we close, I really believe God's word is alive and it's powerful, and it speaks to us. And as God's word has spoken today, I'd like to ask you to really consider thinking about what has God been speaking to you about. Thank you, Dale. It can be as simple as someone you know that he has put on your heart that they are lost and without Christ, and he's put on your heart to share the gospel in some way with them, and you or I, we've been resistant to that. And the gospel is just full evidence of God's grace at work, favor that we don't deserve. And out of God speaking to us, we should say, God, I don't. Even when we say, God, I don't know if I can do that. This past week, there were so many people on our trip that for the first time gave a really clear, prepared gospel presentation. You know what? That's rarely the way it's supposed to happen. So many times it's conversational. It's us taking scripture in our lives and just talking to someone honestly about what God's done for us and what he can do for them. It's just saying, God, I don't know that I'll have all the right words, but with the faith that I have, I know that the gospel says that Satan's bind on someone is a defeated existence, and that's not who you've called us to be, God. So we're going to claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go talk to that person about what it means to know you. I don't know that I can do it. You don't have to have the faith that you can do it. You just have to have the faith that Jesus will save them, and his payment was enough. So if that's all the faith you have, then you pursue that person with that faith. And out of that faith, we will see God's power and God's grace. And as a response to that, we will be full of thanks. And we will not have to search for the energy to serve. As we sing in just a few minutes, if there's something that God has put on your heart from this word this morning or from something that's outside of this message, it's the substance of life, we would love to pray with you. If you would like to know really what it means to have a relationship with God, to receive the gift of salvation that Jesus offers us undeservingly, we haven't done anything to earn it. We can't. But you want to receive the gift to know God and to be his child. And we would love to show you in Scripture what God says about that, what it means to believe in Jesus, what it means to confess Christ as Lord. We'd love to sit down and walk you through that. And we can begin that here. We can talk about that after the service. We can meet this week. But we know, we don't just believe, we know that it is the greatest relationship, the greatest decision that you ever will make. As it's been said so many times, the greatest thing about us, the most significant thing about us, is who we say Jesus is. We would love to pray with you and connect with you in any way we can help. And after I pray, we're going to stand and sing. We're going to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how you've moved in the service this morning. God, I thank you for my church family. I thank you that we can come in and sing. I thank you for the spirit of service you gave us last week. The Holy Spirit was here. The Holy Spirit was there working. God, it's a reminder that you are everywhere. You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. God, we give you praise and glory for being all those things because we can't even comprehend those things. But God, just being all present, we know that Satan is not, his demons aren't. So God, in every way, we know that Satan is defeated. So God, over the lives that are in this room, over the lives that we are connected to, we want to claim the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to ask you to work freely. And Lord, we want you to free us from the things that bind us. Lord, we don't want to ask immature questions anymore. We don't want to stand around and compare ourselves to others and find ourselves with a lack of joy. God, we want to just simply come to you and say, God, what do you want me to do? Put in me the faith. Put in me the conviction to do it right now. Don't let me wait, God. Lord, we don't want any more to just wish for more faith so maybe one day we'll be like someone we've seen. God, we want to see your grace and your power work where we are in our life right now. So maybe, God, in our doubts, full of doubts, we have just 1 ounce of faith that you've gifted our hearts with to be obedient to you in some way this week. Maybe it's in one conversation, one generous act, one sharing of our testimony about Jesus to someone that we hope may respond. Whatever it is, God, if we have that mustard seed size faith, God, allow us the moment and give us the instruction to use it this week so we'll see your power and your grace at work in us and through us to the world around us. And God, for that, we won't be able to help but be thankful. If we can't help but serve you, God, it is our duty, our privilege. It's who we are because, God, you are our master. Lord, we pray for all those here. We pray for our family and our church that's not in this room right now. But for this moment, God, for those of us that are here, allow us the freedom and the courage and the boldness to worship and show our great love for you, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing?